Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Smalek, and I'm joined by my co-host today, my guest co-host, member of the Dubs Instagram team and the Royal Court Review. It's Jen Bachman. Jen, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, come on. Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to have you on because, like, you just experienced something that we all wish we could have done as travelers, but you got to see, like, an inaugural, like, trip. And, like, what did you describe it to me as? Like, a naming ceremony of the biggest, heaviest, largest, most fun ship of all time? Is this right? Did I introduce it right?
That's a fair description, but I participated in a sailing on Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas, and it was a sailing just for travel agents and media. And so it was really before the inaugural sailing, which just left January 27th. And as part of the sailing I was on, the ship was officially named, and there is a whole ceremony that goes into naming a ship, which I learned a lot about.
Awesome. Like, we haven't seen any information on the Icon of the Seas, except for everything completely on Facebook, Instagram recently.
Yes, it's gotten a lot of love.
It has got a lot of love. I actually sent you a picture, though, like, before you went on the ship. I was like, that ship is listing. That ship's going to tip over. You're like, don't worry. I can swim good. But, yeah, it is. So we're going to get into the show in a second, but it is the biggest. It has the most. It can hold the most. It has. If you want it, it's there on this boat, right? It's almost comical when it was in port compared to a standard size cruise ship. Like, you could fit that cruise ship inside of this cruise ship and sail away.
Yeah.
So awesome. You had a unique experience, though, because you were invited again on this media and, like, travel agent, like, preview cruise. So before we even start, Jen is a travel agent. Jen, give us your contact information before we start, please.
Sure. I work for Trips to the Mouse and UPAC We Plan. So we do Disney destinations, and I actually do a lot of cruises and then all-inclusives as well. And my email is jen@upacweplan.com.
Okay. So Edcot has a ton of great travel agents. And, you know, all travel agents are good and they're passionate. But there's a difference of who you book with. And you're not wrong with whoever you book with, but you ultimately go with who you trust to go and handle your plans. In my case, I just happen to trust Jen. And she's the one who's booking the Edcot cruise coming up here on the Adventure of the Seas. Jen and Tracy McCoy, who works for the same company, actually.
Yes, we work together. Yes.
You work together. So, you know, if you're interested or if you don't have a travel agent, by all means, reach out to her or reach out to me. I can get you in contact with Jen. Before we start, what's good in your life? Hit me up with something.
Well, obviously the Icon, but I, on a personal note, I'm really excited. My son was selected to compete in an academic competition. So that's tomorrow. They picked 5 students for each subject for each mini school. So I am wishing him luck.
Awesome. Awesome. So, like, what's his specialty? What is he doing? Or is it, I mean, he's got to be like, hey, you're the spelling dude. You're the math dude. What's his specialty?
So he was picked to compete in English language arts. And what's funny about that is the class he likes the least. And it's not that he's bad at it, obviously, but he's just not into it. So I think he was, like, a little disappointed he didn't get picked for science because that's his real passion. But we've talked a lot about, you know, how it's an honor to be able to represent his grade.
Nice. Yeah. Is he got good grades in English, or is that just like explain how they chose him for that?
Yeah, it is based on, like, academic achievement. And look, like, I am very blessed. Brady is a fantastic kid. And, you know, I'm not going to say he puts a ton of effort in, because honestly, he does really well, and it's hard to argue. But that is his gift. And, you know, that is a blessing to have that as a gift. So it's his thing. And then, you awesome. Know, he plays golf as well. So we're getting ready to start golf season.
Yep. Golf season's just around the corner, especially, you know, you guys have it earlier than we do up here, but yeah, outstanding. I love it.
In March.
Yeah. I have something good. I just thought of it. If you don't mind me saying, kind of like a little teaser. So do you remember that picture when I took the selfie of Scott and Shannon, myself and Lisa? And really, I was trying to get the onion ring stack. Did you remember that picture that I posted in? It was an enormous onion ring stack. And the onion rings were like the size of like gigantic donuts. I left flabbergasted. I had to take a picture. Do you know where that was at?
Where was it?
That was at a place called Cody's Roadhouse. And if you're just a Florida fan, you might recognize the name Cody's Roadhouse. There's a couple of them. They're located in the Villages, which is that retirement community, the 55 plus community, located just north of Walt Disney World, about an hour. Scott and Shannon and I, we wanted to go there because I wanted to see what the buzz was all about. Mm-hmm. Because like, there's a lot of crazy stories and rumors and stuff like that. But like, why is there a population that is largely 55 plus of 140,000 people in the middle of Central Florida, where like it's literally below Ocala and before the Turnpike? And so we went to go and check it out for the day. We ended up signing up for the trolley tour, which was like the information tour as they bust us around for these things. And, you know, I'm going to leave you guys with this. Obviously, I'm not that age right now. But you know what? I want to put my ducks in a row. And despite the fact that I like to go and have that idea out there that like I like to do things, I prepare and I study and I'm overprepared. So in any situation, like I know almost before I get there, I've been doing a lot of research on this. So it is everything people say about it. It is detailed to the tens. It is as clean as a Walt Disney World property. It is as themed as Walt Disney World property. Every little town square has got 30 shops and 15 restaurants and bars. There's entertainment. Like if you just heard like a rumor about like, oh, they got a bunch of like people that like loofahs and upside down pineapples and all this good stuff, right? And like, okay, if you want to see that, you might find that, but it's in your neighborhood too. I guarantee it. If you're listening, it's somewhere. If you don't think there's, quote, extracurriculars in your neighborhood, you're crazy. It's there. But I'm going to say this, Jen. It was nice. Really nice. Like, I left there thinking, huh, this is really pretty cool. Pretty clean. So, who knows? But we just wanted to see what was going on over there. We had a great time. It's always cool to hang out with Scott and Shannon. They're such good people, such down-to-earth people that I love spending the afternoon with them. Then we hit up Disney Springs for the rest of that day. I wanted to see where the commute was. Mm-hmm. And I know she's not listening. We knocked out birthday shopping for like two birthdays. We went in with a purpose. And it's rare you leave with that completed. Boom. Like we did. We knocked it out, right?
Nice.
Got one complaint. You ever have swirls on the water, Jen?
So I haven't because I actually don't go to Disney Springs a lot. I like to be in the parks. But the times I've been there, the line is just silly.
It was cold. So the line wasn't silly. It was still more than it should have been because it was that cold. But here was the part that really got me kind of scratching my head. So it's not unreasonable. The swirls on the water is like $5.99 and it's a big old cup, right? You get the big old cup. We didn't get the one with rum or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And as we started eating it, we noticed it's hollow. It isn't full of ice cream. It's because it's that ice like mixture. It's not really dairy. They literally make like the swirl, but it's completely hollow on the inside.
Isn't it Dole Whip though?
It is a Dole Whip, but it's like the consistency was like when you get a Dole Whip at the parks, you know, you put your spoon in it and it yields to the spoon, right? You take it. This was like spackle. I mean, it wasn't moving anywhere. And then as soon as you got to the middle, it was empty. It was like hollow earth.
I feel like there was like too much air or not enough air. Like that shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. I was like, what the? But I mean, it wasn't unreasonable. It's $5.99. I mean, it's pretty good for Disney
for pricing. Spackle.
Seriously, it was heavy, but I was like, come on now. What, you can't fill this thing? Yeah. So whatever. Anyways, I digress.
So do they have Dole Whip at the Villages is my question.
I don't know. We had a really good meal. I mean, but if you think of it, if you think of a kind of type of restaurant, they've got it. Mm. And it is true. People there are largely in retirement age. They're 55 plus, but you can buy at any age you want. Here's the restriction. You can't have anybody under the age of 18 live there full time. Over 18 can live with mom and dad, whatever.
Okay.
If it's under 18, they can stay for a maximum of 30 days. Then you could literally go stay at a hotel for like 3 days and come back for another 30 days. You would have to repeat that, but it's not sustainable for like a lifestyle if you have kids. So it's really not. But there are little communities set up for families because they have charter schools there because they need people to help manage 140,000 people with shops and stores. And, you know, they encourage families into these smaller areas on the outside, but they do have a charter school system that's ranked very highly, like one of the highest in Florida. So, yeah, it was pretty fascinating, but we had a good time just checking it out, you know? So
what I'm hearing is that you and Lisa could buy now and then live there with Beatrice, like once a month, do like a weekend cruise, right? Like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Monday, and you guys are good.
This would be the case that you could do that. And I'm sure people have tried to game the system before, you know, but yeah, no, it's fun. It's cool. And it's always cool to look ahead and try and think what the next stage of your life is. But, you know, we're not there right now, but I just wanted to see what the buzz was about. It has the same kind of dedication and support from people who live there that the Disney community does. Cause in sometimes Walt Disney World and Disney Company, they can't do no wrong, which is not true. There are plenty of things that need correction, but they have just as much fervor down there. It can't do no wrong. Well, it can, you know, and there are things you need to change or should change, but really cool experience. You know, I could easily see a whole bunch of Epcot families kind of ending up down there at some point. I'm just going to put it out there, you know, just going to put it out there. All right. On to the show. Oh, Icon of the Seas. Okay. Explain whose ship it is and all the good stuff. Let's just start off with like, what is it? And like your first impressions, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So it is a Royal Caribbean ship. Mm-hmm. It is the first of its kind. And Royal, if you've followed Royal for the last few years, they have put out a lot of big ships. So the last one was the Wonder. That was a huge ship. This is bigger than the Wonder. 7,600 passengers can be accommodated, and that's with like max capacity in every stateroom. So you probably will rarely hit that, but it's what it holds. And then another 2,400 in crews. So we're talking 10,000 people the ship is made to house.
Okay, so 10,000 people. The biggest boat I've ever gone on was the Allure, and that was like a combination of like 6,500 of like maybe passengers and some crew and one. Like, so, okay. So now you're already like 30% larger than this, which is really boggles the mind.
I know Jeremy Murray had a question, like how much bigger is it than the Adventure? Cause we're going on the Adventure as a group this summer. Okay. And it is 45% bigger in size and like 46% in capacity. That's so, I mean, you're talking basically double.
A double boat.
Two regular cruise ships can fit on this boat. And like the Adventure is a decent size.
Yeah. It's a catamaran. It's a double catamaran, Murray. Let's think of it that way. Holy cow. And when you see pictures, so stop right now. Just pause for 1 second and we'll wait. Go and pull up a picture. Just type it the word Icon of the Seas. I want you to see like the double construction from behind, how big it is. And that way you just get an idea. And if you can, find a picture in port. Actually, Jen, you shared one on your page, correct?
Yeah.
Post one. It is laughable how big it is compared to everybody else. So, okay. So we've got the biggest boat. Did it feel crowded? Cause you're talking 10,000 people. I know on your boat, it was like, you said it was 5,000 ish. Yeah,
probably 4,000 or 5,000. It was hard. You know, they don't really tell you.
Yeah.
And our boat, obviously with the makeup, there weren't a lot of kids. There were kids, but it wasn't the capacity for kids that it would normally be at.
Okay.
I think the way they have designed this is brilliant. So there is just a ton of space on the ship, obviously, because it's massive, but also because they were just really intentional in how they laid things out. And they have dubbed this like the ultimate family vacation. And it really felt like that in the sense of sometimes for me when I cruise, depending on the ship offers, it's like, yeah, this is fun. I can't wait to get to port, right? Because I want to do other things at port. And not that you wouldn't feel that way to experience non-cruise things, but you could easily spend 7 days doing all there is to offer on this ship. Like I was on for 3 days. And I didn't actually swim in a pool one time because there was just so much to do. And part of that is because I wanted to make sure, like I've visited every stateroom category. I saw all the neighborhoods and I tried some food, just tried all the water slides, just for our listeners and for clients. But there is so much to do on the ship. And I think with that intentional design and the 8 neighborhoods, well, obviously there are a lot of people on the ship. There is enough going on to disperse crowds to where it won't feel as overwhelming and crowded.
Well, you mentioned intentional. And one of the things I saw in a video was, if you looked at it, if you thought about a normal cruise ship and the pool, you might have a pool, you know, in the middle of the ship, you might have a smaller pool in the back that's an adults only pool, maybe something in front. And people tend to mass around those areas of the pool, right? But how many pools do they feature on the Icon? How many are there?
So there are 7 pools.
Okay.
And 9 whirlpools.
Okay. So you've dispersed people already as opposed to the large communal gathering in the middle of the boat, right? That people fight for cats and dogs to try and get pool chairs around. You've already dispersed them around there. Mm-hmm. That includes or doesn't include any of the water slides and water features?
That does not include the water slides. Okay. So one of the neighborhoods is Thrill Island, and that features a lot of activity. And so this is a place that if you have older kids, this is where they're going to be. And mm-hmm. I mean, for adults like me, like this is where I'm going to be probably because I like water slides. So there's 6 water slides on the ship. 2 of them are family raft style water slides. And then 2 are mat style where you go head first. And then 2 are drop slides. Nice. And Chris, I was not anticipating. So I didn't want a spoiler on the water slide. So I like didn't know what was going to happen until I was basically getting on it. And there's one that they put you like in a capsule and then the floor drops out.
Okay, but you had to have known the moment you walked into the capsule and they sealed you up that something was going to happen.
You knew it wasn't going to be good for me.
Okay. How far was that drop? Can I ask? Was it substantial enough to make you feel like you're gonna die?
Yes, it was. I don't know the exact. I think it's the biggest drop on a slide like that. I mean, and that's you'll hear a lot with the Icon, like the biggest, the biggest, the biggest. But they've gone over the top with this, and it doesn't feel like it in a gimmicky way. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things that you experience, and you're like, wow, that was really cool.
Okay. You said how many slides? Oh, 6 slides?
6 slides. And then there's also Splash Away Bay in the Surfside neighborhood, which is more for kids. 6 and under are going to love it. Some like 7 and 8-year-olds would be entertained there as well. But mm-hmm. they have like the more kiddie slides.
Most boats have 2 slides. You're lucky if they get 3 slides. Yeah. So this is double the capacity. And you're like, that doesn't really mean anything. It does if you've got kids. If you've got 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old kids, it does. So
yeah, I mean, this is a water park at sea. And also in Thrill Island, they've got the Flow Rider, which is on a lot of the Royal ships. Yeah. They have a rock wall. They have something called the Crown's Edge, which is it's like kind of like a ropes course, but basically you suspend out over the ocean. And so it's really quick. It's like 2.5 minutes and it's a paid adventure, but that is really cool. And actually we weren't able to get on because it was so popular. So that's one you book in advance or as soon as you can.
Wow. So I just want to make sure I understand that. So there's a ropes course, which strings you up above the water in the ocean, right?
It's like a rope zip line hybrid.
Oh man, I'm gonna make sure Rick Forbes goes on that. We're gonna make sure that he's gonna do that. Okay.
Joe Bachman, my husband, doesn't like heights, and this would be a big no for him.
It would completely turn him away. Yeah. I understood. It never felt crowded to you by the food or by the lounges? I'm just trying to. Yeah. You mentioned that number 10,000. I can't get past that number of 10,000. I know yours didn't have that, but you're trying to estimate from what you had.
The Windjammer, which is the big buffet on all the Royal ships, mm-hmm. there were times like I was in there at peak dining time. And as is the case with all the ships, right? Like it's hard to find tables at that time, especially if you have a larger family with you. But I was choosing to be there. And there were alternatives that don't exist on other ships where I could have just as easily have gone if I wanted a quieter experience. And I actually went up at one of those for breakfast one day and I was the only one in that particular restaurant. So,
holy cow. I'm glad you said that, because as I was doing research, I realized that this boat has more free alternative dining options than any other boat at sea. And they also have more paid dining options than any other boat at sea. And as well, they should. How many restaurants do they have total on the boat?
They have over 20 restaurants. I know they're saying over 40 dining and drinking experiences. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay. Let's talk then a little bit about the restaurants, if you don't mind. Yeah. So I know some of the buzz is, you mentioned the Windjammer. So the Windjammer is the standard buffet. Each boat, it becomes a little different in terms of style and size and, you know, extravagance, but it is their buffet and it's available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But what are the other free options they have on this boat?
So there's the main dining room. Mm-hmm. Which is also standard on Royal Caribbean. There is, what I loved about this ship is they have the first Royal, I guess it would be a food hall. So up in the Aquadome neighborhood, you go in and there are different food booths to choose from. And they had a mac and cheese booth, like an Asian booth, crepes, Greek, and then salads and sandwiches. And so it's an alternative to a buffet. But everything is quick, ready to go right there. And that was a great spot to grab a meal at. Hmm. So that was fun. If you've ever been like on a Virgin ship, they do something very similar.
So is it like circular in design or is it like long in design for the, you mentioned food.
Yeah, this was long in design.
Okay. Awesome.
There's a Pollo Loco, which is the Mexican mm-hmm. like grab and go option that Royal has on some of their ships. So that's going to be out there on the pool deck. There is Sorrento's Pizza, world famous. Like, this is the best spot to go at 2 a.m. pizza.
They're on a lot of boats, Sorrento's Pizza.
They're on a lot of boats. It's not really. It's not. I'm from New York, so I'm picky about pizza. But I'll tell you what, like a hitch just right before bed.
At 2 a.m.,
yes.
Totino's Pizza tastes pretty good at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. There's Surfside Eatery, which is the restaurant I was in when I was the only one there. So yeah. That's going to be a buffet, but it's a lot smaller. And it's in that Surfside neighborhood, which is really geared towards families. And what's fantastic about that is if your kids are playing on the water slides right there, if they're in that splash pool or on the playground or in the arcade, you don't have to get them dried and dressed and, you know, take an elevator up to the Windjammer if they want something to eat. There's stuff right there. And so I think that was a really great design.
Kid friendly options. You were talking like chicken nuggets, pizza, burgers, dogs, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. They had more adult dishes in there when I went, then I was like, that's kind of weird for the kids buffet. Like they had cod one day.
I was just going to say to you, what does mom and dad have? If they don't want to have that, what would they have besides that?
They had some other options, but what they also had, which was cool, was they had a little more themed food. So this is something I've never seen on a Disney ship. They had like Spider-Man's pizza. And it was like just pizza, but the cheese was made to look like a web. So there are nice touches like that that I've not gotten on other Royal ships, which are more akin to like the Disney Cruise Line experience.
Okay. What about places like burgers or ice cream or like, what if I want a grab and go sandwich or salad or something like that? What are my options there?
There are plenty of options. There's several cafes. There is a location. So there's a big art display. It's like a kinetic art display shaped like a pearl. And that's right in the Royal Promenade when you enter the ship. And it's really like the icon of the icon, if you will. But up there, they have a whole cafe and that's 24 hours sandwiches and desserts and stuff. So that's an option. There's a, I think it's called Base Camp, that's up in the Thrill Island Water Park that is more burgers and stuff. So you're not going to go hungry on this cruise, Chris. Like I was on for 3 days and I made the mistake of weighing myself when I came home. And I texted the person I was with and I said, 6 pounds in 3 days is a new record for me.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it reminds me of the movie WALL-E. Yes. Like everyone's moving around in chairs from WALL-E.
Okay. And so there is a self-serve ice cream, but there is also a milkshake bar on this ship called Deserted.
Hang on. Wait a minute. You said self-serve ice cream. So there was no one monitoring for those rascal kids?
There is someone monitoring, but okay. It's not like a, you know, not behind the counter situation.
Okay. And then the paid options. What are some of the paid options you have? Because like convincing my wife, who is like, I had to spend a lot of money for this boat. I she's not going to spend a lot. But why would we? Well, why would we spend?
I think it's really all about what you want. There are plenty of places to eat that are complimentary. Okay. If you want more specific cuisines or experiences, then specialty dining might be for you. So they have a great steakhouse that's on all the royal ships called Chops. They brought Izumi onto the ship as well. And that's like the sushi and teppanyaki experience. And this ship, they also have Izumi to go. So this is unique and it is a walk-up sushi window. So if you want something a little special, but don't want to pay the full price of a specialty dining experience, you can get like this fresh made sushi right from this window and then enjoy it right there in Central Park, which is gorgeous.
That is really cool. That's unique. I remember Izumi and I thought to myself, well, that's kind of cool. The kids would like that. But I was like, also like, yeah, maybe Beatrice might not like that. So yeah.
That's a great, like, if she can get a Spider-Man pizza, you can get sushi and you meet in the middle.
Yeah, halfway in the middle here. What about lounges, Jen? Can I ask you about that? I'm sorry.
There is a supper club on this ship, which is unique. So that's a new dining experience they've brought on.
Ooh, okay. When you say supper club, I'm thinking like old school. I'm thinking like lounge act type situation. Is this what we're talking about?
You're thinking right. Okay. It is I would call it a premium experience. So it's going to be more than like the steakhouse and other specialty dining experiences, but it is very small inside. So it's a very intimate experience. They had a tasting menu when I was there. So they were serving some really unique dishes. They were serving rabbit, for example, which I'm not a rabbit person, but some people may be. And it does. They'll have performers live, and it's like that full old Hollywood supper club experience.
What's it called? Do you remember?
It is called the Supper Club.
The Supper Club. Wow. Okay. They were really on the nose about that one. Very.
They
good.
Really helped me out because it's hard to remember everything, and I'm like, just call it what it does.
Okay. What about lounges? What about bars? Do they have anything from nightclubs to sports bars to more romantic options? What are the options on
it? Yeah. They have a lot of the things you've seen on other or people have seen on other royal ships. So Playmakers is the sports bar that's usually on royal ships. It's massive on this ship. One place I will say, Chris, where I did feel crowded is for whatever reason, they made the entrance to the ice skating area where the ice shows are. You have to go through the Playmaker Sports Bar to get there. And so you've got quite a few people like chucking through this bar to go to this ice show. So that was a little weird to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a ton of criticisms, but we were all like, are we sure there's not another way to get here? So they've got that. They've got the first swim up bar at sea. So Swim and Tonic.
Nice.
That they did there. And definitely like Lime and the Coconut is on some royal ship. So that's a multi-story bar. That's there. 1400 is a really nice lounge right there on the Royal Promenade. And they have a margarita there that they use some special tool to make like a big bubble of smoke over the top of it. And then you're supposed to like, you can poke it or start to drink it and it bursts and like disperses all the smoke.
Holy cow. So obviously when you're talking lounges, this is separate though. So it's not included. So liquor is not included on this boat. No. So you would be relying upon buying now the beverage packages that they offer for all Royal Caribbean cruises, right? So standard on our adventure.
You could just buy a drink.
You could just buy a drink, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've not cruised before. You've not cruised in a long time. You can pay cash for this drink?
It will go onto your Royal Caribbean account. So your pass.
Okay, so cash is not an option. So when you board the boat, like they have your information and they're like, oh, what room are you in? You're in room 1402. Mm-hmm. And then you get a statement for all of your drinks and bubbly, smoky margaritas after the cruise is
ready to you can check it while you're on the cruise through the app. So if there are people that you need to monitor in your party, or if you need to be monitored, it's possible as you go.
Okay, very cool. So would that hold true then for things like shopping? Because I'm sure shopping is also a big issue on this boat. Not only for like your, oh my gosh, I forgot the toiletries, you know, to sweatshirts and works of art.
And they have a lot of luxury stores on this boat. Like they have a Cartier store, which I'm never going to buy anything from in real life, like at the Cartier store or on a cruise ship. So, but if that's your thing, you can go on the boat and buy it.
What else do they have though that I could shop at? Like, okay, I'm gonna take my daily wearing Cartier watch off. But what else could I buy that if I wanted to substitute out for my daily wearing?
Well, I bought Isla a pair of unicorn goggles. So you could buy those.
Okay.
You could buy bathing suits. You could buy Royal Caribbean swag.
Gotcha. Well, they have everything from like shaving cream to like soap to shampoo to like stuff like that.
Yeah. They'll have like a sundry shop on there. So one thing we didn't talk about is there is a dog on this ship, Chris, which I know you're a big fan of dogs like I am. So
yeah, but old dogs. Is it an old dog?
Not.
In time.
Yeah. She's 6 months old. Okay. Her name is Rover.
Okay.
And she lives on the ship. And she's very popular. She has her own Instagram account. Wow. And this is a job I didn't know existed, but now I want. So there is someone on the boat whose job is to take care of Rover. So she like just gets to sail around on this massive cruise ship and hang out with this dog all day.
I am uniquely qualified for this job.
Right?
I am not qualified for much else in this world, but for that job, I am qualified.
Right.
I can do this.
Yes.
Okay. What about things like, do they have the standard kitschy things like the art auction and like the fancy pearl like demonstration and stuff?
They do. I always avoid that kind of stuff because I do think it's kitschy. Mm-hmm. They have, so one thing that's different here is some of the activities that you would have seen scheduled, like karaoke and the comedy acts. They've actually moved those into more permanent locations. So there is a karaoke bar here where you can go do karaoke. There is a dueling piano bar, which is unique. So I think those are a lot of fun. There's a comedy club instead of that being in the Royal Theater. And that's all in the same area of the Royal Promenade. So there are, even though this is a very family-friendly ship, there are a lot of places that cater to adults as well. So if someone's listening and thinking like, oh, my kids are older, or I don't have kids, or it's not that this couldn't be for me. You're just going to have a different experience. And in fact, there's an adults only pool area as well on the ship.
Okay. When you said the Royal Promenade, describe that for someone who hasn't been on a Royal Caribbean boat or hasn't cruised in a long time. What does that mean?
Yeah. So it's like the center of the ship. It runs pretty much the length of the ship. And there are bars on this, shops, dining options. It's a place where they'll have just different activities going on. So when I was on, they did a dance party on the Royal Promenade that was one-hit wonders. So they had like 47 one-hit wonders. And this Royal Promenade is actually two stories high. So there's things on both floors. And there's spaces where they had performers come through. They had a Bahamian parade on our first day that came right through. And just different activities there. So it's an inside spot in the ship that you wind up at a lot because you're walking through to get to other places, but there's a lot of attractions there for you as well.
We'll talk more about attractions and things like, I want to know if there's rock climbing walls and miniature golf and stuff like that, but everything so far has been so active and so, I don't want to say loud, but what if I just want to chill? What if I like libraries or just like a relaxing or quiet spot? What do they have for that?
So I think as opposed to other ships I've been on, they have so many areas to just chill. In fact, one of the neighborhoods is called Chill Island. And they have a ton of loungers, both in the shade and out of the shade. There are a lot of quiet spots in the ship. If you're looking, you'll come across them. I think in one of the live videos, I came across like just some rocking chairs that were in Central Park, but you had an ocean view. And there's plenty of spaces where you can unwind and choose to get away from the hustle and bustle. There are just tons and tons of seating on the ship, which is needed because of capacity. But I've struggled sometimes on other ships in finding a place to lounge. And, you know, I've done the like lurker thing where I'm like, oh, that person's getting up, like hang out here, act casual. And I don't think there'll be a need for that on this ship because there's truly a ton of space where you can sit and relax.
So that's good that you said that. Is people think they would board a boat and they're like, no, I'm here for fun. And in theory, that's right. But after like a few days, like in a boat of any size, you're kind of people-ied out. like, leave me alone. Like, leave me alone. So you need a place that you can just go with your wife and read or just watch the sunset with a drink or something along those lines. And you don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of people. It's good they have that.
Yeah.
What about like a workout facility or a gym? It's pretty much standard on a lot of the boats and I would imagine be really good here, but
yeah,
do they have this?
They have a gym. I did not step into it. It's not my thing on vacation, but they have a gym. Okay. They have a spa. So another great place to relax, right? The spa. And they'll have ice skating on the ship as well. So if you want to get your workout in that way, you can. You can walk the track on the ship, as massive as you might imagine.
Is it middle of the ship? Because some of the boats, like they put the walking track up and the jogging track up above on the top deck, where you're literally walking in between people trying to sunbathe, and it's like, yeah, I'm just going to start swimming.
I think they recognize that's a problem because there are parts of it that you're just, but it's not like the other ships where you're just walking through people who are trying to sleep with their books on their faces.
Yeah. The Allure of the Seas has a wonderful one. It's right outside like deck 6 or deck 7. And it just takes you around the complete boat. It's a giant loop outside. Yeah. Some of it's open, some of it's protected, but very few people go out there. So I found Lisa and I were like walking like 7, 8, 9, 10 laps in the morning and then following up. And you can't believe how beautiful the ocean is at different times of the day. And it's like, you almost want to pinch yourself just seeing how beautiful it is out there. So what about things like a rock climbing wall, miniature golf, and like ping pong and stuff like that?
Yeah. So they have all of that up in Thrill Island for the most part. So like if you're going on as a family, depending on the ages of your kids, you're probably going to focus on Thrill Island or Surfside. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more about Surfside too. But the rock climbing wall is in Thrill Island. They have the miniature golf course there and they have several sports courts there as well. So if you have kids or if you yourself loves to play basketball, like they've got that going on. They have pickleball opportunities, which I know is really big right now and really important to some people. So yes, you can play pickleball on the ship. All of that is really in that Thrill Island area.
Please tell me there's a rivalry between Thrill Island and Chill Island. Please tell me that they play Capture the Flag or they hate each other or something.
If you recognize these names, these are the names, some of the names of the different areas on Royals Island, Coco Cay. So okay. They've basically like transported that in concept onto the ship.
Okay. We know Chill Island. We know Thrill Island. We know Surfside, right? It's kind of more towards the kids area, right?
It's got a full carousel. Okay. And then there's an ice cream sundae, I don't know, ride vehicle, I guess. What do you call it? They're not horses. So I don't know what to call these things on the carousel, but there's one that looks like an ice cream sundae and it spins. So well, my 13-year-old would not be down to ride a carousel. He would get in the spinning one. So there's still some crossover there.
Not like a tilt-a-whirl, but I could imagine what you're saying.
Well, it's kind of like the teacups.
Gotcha. So,
yeah. You can get that thing whipping around pretty good.
Nice. We got three neighborhoods so far. There's a few more neighborhoods you haven't mentioned yet. What else are we looking for?
So I think we briefly talked about Central Park, but there is Central Park on the ship. It's absolutely beautiful. Like, they've got living walls of plants, and I mean, it does. It looks like a park. They have what sounds like birds piped in. So
it's in the middle of the boat and it's like hollow, correct, Jen?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's hard to imagine what you're saying. Like, you think, okay, a boat is just, it's a cube. It's a floating rectangle in a matter of speak. But this actually is kind of hollow in the middle. And yeah, like those, the foliage and like everything goes up and you're like, I am not in a boat. I am now officially in a cityscape at this point. And you buy it. You completely believe it. It's so pretty.
Oh, yeah. Parks. It's really like, look, we talk all the time about Disney and storytelling. I think this ship, much more than anything else Royal's done, is a lot more immersive in a way that we typically expect from brands like Disney.
Okay. Besides Central Park, what else do we have?
We talked about Royal Promenade. We've got Surfside.
Thrill and Chill.
Hideaway is the adults only area. So it features, it's kind of like a Miami club vibe. Like a, okay. I shouldn't say it that way. It's a like Miami Vegas pool party club vibe. So it's really all centered around that pool. And it is a suspended infinity pool, which is the first ever at sea.
Okay. Like it's already past me at this point. As soon as you went to the Miami Vegas like nightclub, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, nightclub's not the right, or beach club, I guess, pool party situation.
I got to bring my big gold chains. Okay. What else do we have?
You got to do it. We've got the Aquadome area. So that has the aqua theater in it.
And the food, right? You mentioned the food.
Food. Okay. It's got several different restaurants and some shopping in there. They have a shop on this ship, Chris, that sells Royal Caribbean bling. And if you forget your gold chains, you can buy. So this, honestly, this was the most ridiculous thing. I have some pictures in it. And they were selling this Royal Caribbean gold, like diamond crusted chalice.
Nice.
And what I've heard is if you buy this, it's like $100,000. Like, I don't know who's buying this, but if you buy it, I think you get like free drinks on Royal for the rest of your life.
Wow.
So they had like the most ridiculous bling merchandise in the store.
You chose wisely if you end up with this chalice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think you have two more, right? There's two more we haven't mentioned.
Neighborhood. So that's going to be exclusive to suite guests.
Okay.
The difference on this ship than some others in the suite neighborhood is they have Coastal Kitchen, which is like the suite exclusive restaurant, but they also have a bar on that level in the Mediterranean restaurant that was very good for lunch. And they also have a pool on the suite deck.
Only for people that are staying in suites.
Only for people that are staying in suites.
Okay. Does that include, like, do they have junior suites as far as room types? We have to get into that soon enough.
Yeah, they do have junior suites. The junior suites are not included in the, like, suite tier that's allowed to access that level.
All right. Let's talk about accommodations then, if you don't mind. Yes. So we've got interior cabins, right? That's where I stay. Then they've got balcony, right? So you have an ocean view balcony, but, like, what else do they got? Because I know they probably got 19 levels of accommodations.
Okay. So we looked at them all and I spent 3 hours looking at rooms on the ship. So even in like the interior, there are different kinds of interior. There's like a spacious interior. There is one that I think is interesting if you are an interior person, because it is called, it's two different views. It could either be the Surfside view or the Central Park view. And that's confusing because you don't think of interior rooms as having a view, but they do have windows that overlook those specific areas. So if you don't want a full go ocean view, but also feel like, gosh, I have to have a window in my room, that's a great option.
All right. Danger, Will Robinson. Could I warn people about that? Because if you have a view, that means someone else has a view.
Yes.
And you guys could have opposing views.
Yeah, happened to my story, Chris.
I would love to hear the story again. Please do.
So Chris and I were just getting ready for the show, and he talked about this and that, you know, well, are you looking, if you have a Surfside balcony or if you have a balcony in Central Park, are you looking at other people? And the answer is yes, there are other people across the way. And then I shared with Chris that there was a woman who was opposite of me because I had a Surfside balcony, and she was getting changed. And I don't know if she thought that we couldn't see her, but we could. So just word to the wise, there are shades that you can draw on, or curtains, just pull them closed or change in the bathroom and keep it a family-friendly trip.
So when you're walking in the morning and you're in your drawers and you're scratching yourself, there could be someone across the way looking at you. Just bear in mind.
And you can control the curtains on the ship, I think, from the app. So, I mean, there, you don't even have to get out of bed to do your neighbors a courtesy here.
Okay.
Well, they do have different kinds of balconies too, Chris. So they have this type of balcony on the ship called the Ultimate Balcony. And what they've done here is, we think of a balcony like you exit your room through a door and then go sit on the space. But your balcony space is really a part of your room. And you press a button on the wall and you have a full like pane of glass that you're looking out on. And if you press the button, the top half of that pane just comes down to where it would on a normal balcony.
Wow.
What's nice about this is you can be sitting in your room and your room's bigger, but still have, you know, the breeze from that balcony and still have the ability to hear the ocean and stuff.
That's awesome.
So that was cool.
What about families of like more than four? How big can a room accommodate?
So there are some rooms that accommodate more than four. There's a room actually that accommodates up to eight and is the largest room on the ship. It's called the Ultimate Family Townhouse.
Oh boy.
That comes with a hefty price tag, but it is
the biggest boat and it's called the Ultimate. This is not good.
It is so impressive. But just to give you an idea, first off, it's sold out for all of 2024 because there's only one room. But from what I'm seeing, you're looking at between $80,000 and $100,000.
Holy smokes.
And they have sold this out for a year.
Holy cow.
Well, lots of options for families. There's connecting rooms, more connecting rooms on the ship than other ships. And they've done something different with connecting rooms on the ship too. So usually they connect right through like a door that's in the wall. Mm-hmm. And on this ship, there is an outer door that, so you come out the hallway and there's a door that leads to the two connecting rooms. So you have a little more privacy in this model because you still have a dedicated door to your room and the kids can't come right through the door into your cabin from that one. Yeah. But they're also still connected to you through that exterior secondary door.
Okay, that's really well thought.
Yeah.
That's really pretty cool. Okay. So that's one of the things I noticed when, you know, I've cruised now a few times at Royal Caribbean, and I always felt like no matter what I was looking for, it was going to be, there was going to be an accommodation that pleased me. It wasn't like I had to settle. There was going to be multiple options for me. And, you know, that was cool. And the price point too, I know this is a question a lot of people have. It's like, okay, she's the newest, she's the biggest, she's got the most. Is it the costliest? You know, so give us an example. First off, 7-day cruises only, 4-day cruises only, 2-week cruises. What is the scoop on that?
So right now it's 7-day. And I think right now it's 7-day out of Miami, probably until mid 2026 for what's out there right now. I do not see them coming down off the 7-day on this ship simply because there's so much to do. Like, if you went on the ship for 3 days like I did, you're completely overwhelmed and feeling like, oh, I didn't get to experience so much of this. I don't see this being a ship for 3-4 night itineraries. It's just not what it's built for.
Yeah, there's too much. Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. Price-wise. So I think it really varies. And that's the same with all cruises. I'll get asked a lot of times, like, what the best time to book a cruise is, as soon as you know you want to go on the cruise. So we tend to see pricing be at its best the further out you go. So if you decide, hey, I want to cruise summer of 2025 and you know it, great. Get it booked. Yeah. And what we can do too is if the price changes, if you're before a final payment, you can price adjust as well. So I think there's a fear like, oh, I'm waiting for this big sale. But like I've even looked on the Adventure for the cruise we're doing, and the room I have on the Adventure is 3 times the price.
Yeah.
Since I booked it.
So this is the unspoken truth that people are not thinking clearly on, is that since like post pandemic, mm-hmm. the cruises aren't getting cheaper. The only option would be literally if you stayed and lived in Florida and you had the opportunity to like board a boat within like 4 days of sailing for any cabins that were isolated cabins.
Yeah.
But it's not that they are literally doubling and tripling in cost months in advance because they're full. Yeah. Every boat's full right now. So vacation, you know, that revenge travel thing, it still is in full effect at this point.
For sure. But just maybe to give you an idea on pricing, I have a family of four I'm working with that's going in October. And this, the Icon, and I was surprised by this. There were sailings on the Icon during this family's fall break that were eligible for the kids sail free promotion.
Wow.
Which I did not expect.
Yeah.
And so for them for a week, for a family of four in a balcony room was, I think, about $5,300 when I booked that for them. So I don't feel like that's a terrible price point given all the ship has to offer and, you know, 4 people for 7 days.
Yeah. Well, I could run the math on Walt Disney World Vacation for that time period.
Oh, yeah.
And I would guarantee you pass $5,300 with food. I guarantee it. Yep. So, okay, that's not too bad, especially now I'm considering in my mind like a Disney cruise for my family. Like I'm prepared for way worse than that. So that was a pleasing number. Now, of course, Christmas time, you know, that's a yeah. whole different animal. Summertime is a whole different animal. So, okay, not too bad. I have a few questions. We have some questions we asked, you know, our EDCOT group, and we've answered a lot of them, but we're going to go over them. But I have a few more that I can ask you here. First off, what about like handicap accommodations? Everything handicap accessible, no issues whatsoever? You found them to be exceedingly accommodating? Or
yeah, I think they're really accommodating on this ship. They have several different cabin options that are accessible. I toured a few different accessible rooms and, you know, very thoughtfully laid out. The one thing we didn't talk about that this brought to mind for me, Chris, is the elevators on the ship are done very differently. So I don't know if this was your experience. I'm going to assume it was.
I researched it. I thought it was really cool. It was a cool way of moving people around.
Yes. So probably like when you went on your cruises, you were like, oh, this elevator takes forever, right? And I'm yep. sure you've gotten stuck.
4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
So there are 6 elevator. No, more than that. There are 12 elevator banks in the forward of the ship, in the aft, and in the middle of the ship. So there's a lot of elevators on the ship. But instead of just pressing the button and waiting for the elevator to come, you actually press the floor you're going to go to, and it tells you which elevator you need to get on.
In a separate little kiosk, you press which floor you want to go to, and it says, go to the elevator number 4, right? Yeah.
And so what I learned is I'm not good at paying attention, which I already knew, but I'm like, just because it's so second nature, like you press the button and you expect to go up. So I'm like, I want to go to 15, and I'm not paying attention. And it's like telling me, flashing in my face, to go to elevator A. But what was interesting about this sailing I was on was the sailing right before it, someone made the comment like, hey, this isn't accessible because if you have someone that is visually impaired, they're not really able to understand where they're supposed to go. Well, it turns out actually this system also does talk to you, but they just, someone hadn't flipped that switch. So that's kind of one of the things that, like, ooh, you know, it's a silly thing to forget, but you know, having sailings like this before they brought on their guests, they had some kinks to work out. And then of course, you know, I would get on the elevator and like be going to press the button, which didn't exist because it knew where I was going already.
Yeah. So people wouldn't think that would make a difference. And as you think about it, so I watched the video. Everybody's going to floor six, a quicker trip to floor six, and then back down. And then a quicker trip to floor six, and then back down as these banks move around. And it does move people through the boat. You know, the Royal Caribbean blog and Matt Hochberg, you know, was talking about, you know, how this was designed to move 7,000 people. You know, on a boat like this, you cannot just have a standard, you know, people moving system. You needed something a little different. So, okay, what about, you mentioned that was feedback. What was the buzz and feedback on your trip, and what has been like the public reception so far? Because it's all, you know, unicorn and flowers right now, but there had to have been something that was not quite right.
Yeah. I think overall it was overwhelmingly positive, including my own impressions. I have had heard people on the ship saying things like, Royal did so many things right. They have fixed things from other ships. They have solved problems that exist on some Disney ships. And that, like, there are some Disney ships, the Wish, for example, does not have a lot of shade in it. And it is one thing if you are a sun lover and you want to bake all day, but that's not the situation a lot of people are in. And it's hard to find shade on this ship. And, you know, whether it's, I'm sure it's intentional, right? Because nothing's coincidence with companies like this, but there's so much shade on this ship, both for kids and adults. So overwhelmingly positive feedback. There were, like, my comment about Playmakers, that was kind of odd. There are a few rooms that I gave some feedback on. There is one of the suite rooms is a family suite in Surfside, and it sleeps four, but there is a sofa bed that is not a normal size sofa bed. It's so I have a tiny 6-year-old. People think she's four all the time, and I should be fine on this bed, but it's supposed to sleep two kids. And so I can't imagine, like, two kids my son size.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Good point.
But if you didn't know that, you might think, like, oh, a family suite, like, let me go book this for my family of four and we'd be comfortable, and they wouldn't be. So I don't know that that was super well thought out. And that room as well, my comment was, they said, well, it's really for, like, kids six and under. They don't have a bathtub in that room. And so if you're going to have a room for kids six and under, those kids need a bathtub.
Yeah, good point.
So there were a few things like that. I do think the connecting room option is a good idea, but I could see how for families with younger kids, they wouldn't love that idea.
Mm-hmm. How did they get feedback from you guys? Because you got a whole boat of travel agents, right? You got a whole boat of media. This is, like, the most learned audience that, I mean, well-intended, you know, but how do they get that from you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I will say Royal's fantastic about asking for feedback as an organization. Like, for agents, they even have a monthly coffee chat with all of us where we can ask some questions. And on this ship, on the sailing, they did a session with agents and media where we were able to ask the leadership of the Royal and the ship specific questions. And not only about the ship, right, but just different things with the brand, and they provided real feedback. And I think it was a fantastic just experience in general to get their thoughts and unscripted opinions on some things.
Okay. So I'm smirking because you have the opportunity to ask questions, whatever you want, right? Unscripted at this point, and they have to provide you feedback, or they're going to provide you feedback right there on the spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Not for, like, a lot of travel companies. Well, honestly, I'd be hard pressed to think that the Disney company would do something like that, you know, and we're Disney lovers, but, like,
it's very rare for a company to do that. But I think it's a testament to, you know, Royal's commitment to the travel community as a whole, and that they want that unfiltered feedback so they can continue to improve their products.
Well, watch YouTube. I mentioned this to you off the air too. One of the things that I do is I watch the Royal Caribbean blog or Royal Caribbean. I'm sorry if the name is not right. Royal Caribbean blog or Royal Caribbean travel blog or something.
Royal Caribbean blog. You got it.
And there's a lot of videos on every boat. And the host, he's a former Disney podcaster, and he started doing, you know, Royal Caribbean. And one of the things I noticed, it's obviously it's sponsored by Royal Caribbean. The videos point out good and bad. And the bad isn't sugarcoated. The bad is, this isn't right. They got to fix this. And I'm often like, huh, like that's, you know, you're working for the company, you know, like, but yeah, they must have a way of seeking that feedback and using it in constructive ways, because not a lot of places would like that, you know? So I guess that's really cool. It's admirable. So,
I mean, they do surveys and other stuff like Disney does. I get a survey almost every time I go to Disney. But to have that opportunity in a live
world
is interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And this is the Icon of the Seas. This is the first boat of the Icon class, right? So the big cat's pajama here. How many more are they going to design like this?
So officially they've only announced the next one is Star of the Seas.
Okay.
And that'll be out, I believe, next year.
God, they needed to have them called Chicken of the Seas. I'm just going
to
say.
Well, it's funny. Like, I like to do this, play this game with Disney ships. Like, okay, I know how this is going with Wish and Magic and Treasure. And so now I'm like, okay, Icon, Star, what's next?
Well, Icon and Star don't really kind of go together.
Well, I think they do. Because they're thinking of Icon like iconic. So they had Lionel Messi is the godfather of the ship. So if you didn't know, ships have either a godmother or godfather.
Okay.
And I didn't know this until the naming ceremony. So he's the godfather of the ship. And they talked about in that naming ceremony how they chose him because he is such an icon in his sport.
Mm. Okay. So where are you going with this? After Star, what are you thinking?
Star, I don't know. Mm. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm going to have a lot of thesaurus.
So there's at least two boats of this Icon class going to be in the water. Okay. If you don't mind, can I just ask you some of these questions, and then we can actually just, instead of repeating our answers, we can just say we answered that one, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Murray says, how much bigger is this boat than the one we are going in July? A lot bigger. 45% was the number.
Pretty much double the size.
All right. Katrina, what types of things do they have that are appealing to older kids? How many dining options are there for quick service, and are there all day aside from the buffet? How many pools, and did they seem less crowded than a typical cruise ship? I think we answer all those questions.
Yeah. I know the Lee family really well, and Brady's similar age to their kids. And I will tell you, like Katrina, like Carson and Bella would love this ship. No doubt in my mind.
Lauren makes a comment rather than a question, but she says 9 neighborhoods, 40 bars and dining options, tons of entertainment options. This is according to someone I know who works in the industry and who's been in the boat already. I'm curious to what others may experience, as the photos I've seen makes it look spectacular. 0 out of 10. Let's just answer that quickly. 0 out of 10. What do you give the boat?
I'm going to say like a 10 or a 9.9.
Wow.
Like it's high, Chris.
As big as it goes.
Yes.
JJP asks you, the weight of the ship equals how many ping pong balls? And then we have a back and forth.
Someone did this work for us.
including math from John Kroll and Chris Young. There is no math on this boat. And if there is math on the boat, then it's just not a cruise. So keep the math away from it. And I'm just going to leave
it. There are slides on the boat, though.
There's what?
There's slides that get you from one level to another. There's several slides on the boat. So no math, but slides.
Time out. So like instead of stairs, they have a slide?
Yeah, you have the option, either or.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing. Andrea Harrison, Kids Club. How does it compare to the Disney cruise? Is there a casino? Are there longer wait times for things such a big ship?
Yeah. So let's, I guess, start with Kids Club. Mm-hmm. They have on Royal, their Kids Club is called Adventure Ocean. Mm-hmm. And that's 3 to 12. And it was beautiful. Lots of activities going on in there. They have actually a whole little theater section that was super cute that they're going to do like puppet shows and little productions in. As opposed to Disney, they don't have characters, right? So you're not going to get like pajama party with Pluto because they don't have characters. But
they do. They do have DreamWorks characters, but they must not have him on this boat though.
They have DreamWorks. They've gone away from that for the most part. So they don't have those, but they do have, actually the kids have their own cruise director on the ship, and his name is Admiral Awesome. And he does story time every night with the kids.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's why I get the name. Okay.
And I mean, they had, it wasn't part of the kids club, but in Surfside, they had like face painting and like balloon art and different things going on there as well.
Okay. Casino?
Huge casino.
Smoking or non-smoking?
Both. The majority of it, I want to say, was non-smoking. I know the roulette table that I donated $100 to was non-smoking.
Okay. Okay. And then are there longer wait times for things because of the big boat for the rock wall and for the wave rider?
I think to be determined, right? There again, there's so much to disperse the crowds. Mm-hmm. But if you get a big chunk of that cruise boat who wants to go rock climbing, then yeah, there's only one rock wall there. So,
okay. John Crawl, is this one unsinkable? I mean, they say it's unsinkable, but they really mean it. Well, John, they're 51% sure you're going to get back to home. That's all I'm going to say. So that's
I don't think anyone's going to go on record and say that any ship is unsinkable, but it is highly unlikely.
Okay. Does the size limit the ports it can visit? It looks like there's only 7 days cruises for this bad boy, but do you think in the future they'll offer shorter trips? It looks really appealing, but also intimidating. Can you talk a little bit about that in the show discussion? Yeah. So we did answer a lot of that, right? With the 7 days, right? How about the size and the ports? Do they talk about that with, does it have a deeper draft? Is it prevented from visiting certain islands or no?
So I don't believe so. It's going to some pretty small islands. Like there, it's going into like St. Kitts and some places that are not so big. I did wonder, and I've not found an official answer on this question, but if you've ever cruised out of New York, New Jersey on the Port of Bayonne, there is a section where you go under the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. And we did it last year on the Anthem, and it's really cool and really terrifying all at once because it looks like the top of the ship is going to kiss and exchange paint with the bridge. And, you know, I was just standing out there in the freezing cold, like just, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? And I don't know that this ship, if the water was like the maximum height, if this ship would make it under that bridge. So that's the only one I could think of offhand that I'm like, I don't know that this will ever sail out of Bayonne.
Good point. Go watch a YouTube or even like a Facebook reel. You'll find cruise ships that get really close to those bridges and make you
But this is also a warm weather ship, so they're not going to put it, you know, in Alaska or the Northeast.
Gotcha. Let me see here. Jason Erpelding, is there things for older kids to do like go-karts? Do they have go-karts in the boat?
They don't. Norwegian has go-karts, and some of the Royal ships have bumper cars, but this one does not.
And he says, oh, the questions were based on go-karts, but okay. Do they have a ropes course? And your answer was, yes, they do. They do have a ropes course.
Well, kind of weird ropes, suspension, hybrid situation. But okay. Again, right? Like this is a ship for multi-generational families. If you've got 3-year-olds, they're going to love the ship. If you've got 14-year-olds, they're going to love the ship.
So I can't relate to this boat. I've not been on a Disney cruise. The best boats I've been on were the Allure of the Seas. That was the best boat I've been on. And we booked that knowing it was going to be one of the biggest boats at that time in the ocean. It might've been the third or second largest boat. And we booked it thinking, okay, I wonder, and we were never bored. And we felt like every day was like a cool new adventure on that boat. There was just so much to see and do. And this dwarfs that boat. Wow. So, you know, half of the fun is the food. Half of the fun is the things to do. And if you want to see the port towns and go do the things in the port and do excursions, that's okay too. But something like this, back to John's question, you're right. And you mentioned this, you'll never get tired of doing things in 7 days. You always have something fun and new to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't see that being four. And is it worth it? Like, that's a question. Would it be really worth it? We're going on another cruise. Yeah, I think it really is. I think for the variety, for the food options, because some of the boats, you have your buffet, you have your 24-hour service downstairs and your pizza, and you might have one more free option. That's it. Here you've got way more free options. Yeah. So I think for just grazing, chilling, being adventurous, wanting to hear live music, doing ice skating. Yeah, like it's got everything. So
and there's a lot of different entertainment. So there's, I think, two different aqua shows. They were still in rehearsals when we were on the ship. So we had planned to go to one of the previews, but it wound up getting canceled. So we didn't do that. But they have The Wizard of Oz is the show that's showing in the Royal Theater. And there are some royal shows I've seen that are, I'm just going to say it, Chris, they're absolute fever dreams. I'm like, who made this show? It makes no sense. Like, what is happening? This is so well done. So the stage is bigger than any stage on Broadway, of course. And they have some scenes in the play where there's things that come out over into the audience. So I'm not going to fully spoil that, but it was really impressive, really well done. And then they've got the ice show as well on here. So a lot of entertainment too.
We've seen Mamma Mia and it was excellent when we saw Mamma Mia. When you mentioned ice show, they have an ice skating rink. So it's not a full, obviously, regulation length, you know, ice rink, but like world-class skaters, world-class divers and swimmers and gymnastics as well too. So like, if you're seeing like the water show, you're like, oh, go see the water act, whatever it's called, like Splash or whatever the name is. It's phenomenal. And I mean, it's incredible. The acts of like athleticism will leave you thinking, this boat's moving. I can't believe that.
So. I was watching them practice and I'm like, I can't even like go off a regular diving board without belly flopping. And these people are going from like stories up and landing in this teeny tiny pool.
Pretty cool. All right. So if someone wants to book and they're like, I want Jen to book this, by the way, so Jen is the travel agent that I use for my cruise and I completely trust her. But if they want to use you, how are they getting in contact with you again, Jen?
Well, you guys know I'm on EDCOT. I was trying to chime in on stuff, but email is great. Jen@upacweplan.com. And then I have a Facebook page as well for my business. And so if you look up Jen Bachman Trips to the Mouse, you should find it there. And I think I've posted, I went live on the ship, Chris, and I think we tagged that in EDCOT as well. So you may be able to find it through there also.
Okay, what about a Disney trip? Let's say you really want to go on the Wish or you really want to go to, you know, you want to stay at the Polynesian. You can do that as well.
I can do that as well. Just for simplicity's sake, I do have multiple emails, but let's just go with Jen@upacweplan.com and that'll be your one source. I'll pick it up from there. And I like to do a consultation call to get to know what everyone's looking for and get to know a bit about the clients and the experience they want. And then I look at it kind of like matchmaking. So I have a lot of fun with it because not every trip is right for every family at that specific occasion. And it's fun to really like put together the experience they're looking for.
Outstanding. Okay. So I think that answers all the questions I had. Like I didn't need a whole lot of convincing to start. Like I was there already. You just needed to kind of push me over.
My husband was getting texts like, when can we bring the kids on this trip? And we're going to go back to Aulani in October. And I'm like, do you want to do this instead of Hawaii? Which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
But my 13-year-old has vetoed that. He wants to go back to Hawaii. So
nice. Well, I would probably make the same pick, but it'd be a debate. There'd be a decision to be made. You know, it would be so quick.
I predict you will see the Bachmans on the ship in 2025. My prediction.
Well, I imagine you'll see quite a few of us on that boat in 2025. Probably not together, like the family cruise, because it's going to be expensive. But like, this is amazing. You know, everyone's going to want to go on. Okay. So again, at Jen at UPAC, we plan. You know, as far as the non-Disney version of it, and then there is Trips to the Mouse, which is the Disney version of it. So, but you can find her in EDCOT. So, if you have any questions, and we didn't cover them today, and you don't remember the email address, shoot them to me, send me a direct message, send Jen a direct message. Heck, we're going to put the show out in EDCOT and just chime in the comments. We'll get you the answer. So don't worry about that. All right. So for Jen and for myself, we would like to thank you. We hope we piqued your, you know, we've interested you in traveling here with Royal Caribbean. I know we are a Disney-based podcast, but we're a travel-based podcast, and having fun with the family and traveling is really at our core mission here. So I'd like to thank you, and we want to wish you all a great day.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.